look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Bruce, it's a beautiful day in Arizona today. It looks like a good day for a calf roping contest.
Well, I'm in for sure. I may take a flight right now if I can catch some of that.
Yeah, really? Come on. How about Mason Saunders and the... come on. Henry went out to see him, you know, and you saw...
I just hope they let him do his calf roping. What the hell, all year long. Every weekend they're home, or every off day, he has a calf roping contest. I hate to see that aspect of his life shut down. And, you know, it's amazing how everybody in the rodeo community has known this for years, really. And so it's such a tight-knit group that it never really got out. I love that.
Well, and... I love, you know, he's such a companion. We're talking about Madison Bumgarner and his alias, yeah. Mason Saunders, and Henry Schulman went to see him. He pitched Thursday against the Reds, pitched extremely well, gave up one home run to Dietrich, but Dietrich hits homers off the Giants all the time, or former Giants. But he wouldn't talk about anything. He just said, do you understand I'm talking about pitching? Do you guys get it? And this is Madison Bumgarner.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else is there to say, really? He's not going to talk about this every time he's around a bunch of writers. I mean, it's pretty much over now. It's out there. He'd like to keep it going as much as he can, although the cat's kind of out of the bag, or the calf's out of the whatever, the calf's out of the chute. But
what a story, you know?
What a story. It's so Bumgarner, isn't it? I mean, he's... He's always been kind of a wild man away from the field. I don't know if that's the word for it, but a good country guy who likes to do stuff that's a little bit on the risky side. But if you're good at it, you know, go ahead. And it fits his persona so well. And I hope that's going to be him. That's Bumgarner all the way to the very end.
Great story. And, you know, when they raised the flag, what was it, in 2014 after that, or 12, I forget. Remember he rode out on the horse?
Yeah.
And everybody was so afraid. You know, they had police escorts and maybe he couldn't handle being on a horse. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a little nervous because he didn't know the horse.
Okay. All right.
But he goes, all right, I'll do
it. It was Mr. Ed,
it worked out great. I mean, if anybody can connect instantly with a horse, it's going to be Mason Saunders.
It was Mr. Ed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Looking for Wilbur over here.
Right. You know, it's. I love it. I love baseball. I love the stories. And I love guys like Madison Bumgarner and these kind of stories. So it's good. On the other side of the coin, Johnny Antonelli passed away yesterday. And for fans who don't know him or aren't familiar with him, he was a huge part of the Giants in 1954 in their World Series win, 21-game winner. Was traded over from the Milwaukee Braves to the Giants for Bobby Thompson.
Yeah, and about that.
Bobby Thompson goes into spring training with the Braves that year in 54 and slides into third base and breaks his ankle. And the Braves said, we got to get a new player up here. How about that kid, 44? Can he play? And it turned out it was Hank Aaron, and that's how
his
start. But Antonelli was a favorite in San Francisco, Bruce, when they came here in 58. And then he said something about Seal Stadium in San Francisco. He said, I don't like the wind here. A pop-up just went into the seats, and he was finished. That was it. The next thing you knew, he was in Cleveland.
That's very strange, yeah. I mean, he was a tremendous New York Giant. He had a couple 20-win seasons there, and he gets out here. I think he's about 28 years old when he came out here. And in 59, he wins 19 games for the Giants. Has a tremendous year, but I guess that's right about the time he made that comment because he pitched a few games in 1960, and then he was gone. But great left-hander, had a heck of a career. You know, it comes from the time of complete games. He was good for, 15, 18 complete games a year and a guy to be remembered.
Well, he went from Boston bonus baby as an 18-year-old.
Boston Braves.
From Rochester, New York, and the Boston Braves hated him because he took up a roster spot. So Warren Spahn, they wouldn't talk to him. They wouldn't vote him a World Series share. And then, of course, Boston goes to Milwaukee, and then he goes to the New York Giants, and they go to San Francisco. So he's a guy who traveled around the country. He's one of the few, but 59.
In 48, he breaks in with the Boston Braves, and, you know, they had Spahn and Sane, and then they went to the World Series. I mean, that was a team he wanted to stay with. It didn't work out. It didn't mean to interrupt you there. I just when you said 48 Boston Braves, that comes to mind.
Yeah, and they wouldn't vote him a World Series share because they hated him because he took up a spot of a veteran in those days, and he had to live through that. And, you know, he was a great 19-game winner. As you say, in 59, the Giants would almost win the pennant. And he makes the comment about Seal Stadium, and it's so bad that he doesn't pitch. He misses like two or three turns, and he goes to Chubb Feeney and says, Chubb, you know, can you go to the press and say I didn't mean it and all that? And that San Francisco was so up in an uproar about it, and Feeney was nervous. He said, I can't do it. It was like Tessio going to, you know, Tom and saying, can you get me off the hook, you know, in The Godfather? And they wouldn't get him off the hook, and he didn't pitch.
Jeez, and you know, once people got a load of Candlestick, they started getting all romantic about Seal Stadium.
I know. that's baseball, San Francisco baseball history. So I'm glad that we could touch on it. Good man, Johnny Antonelli. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure. Bruce, did you see any of the game on TV last night?
I did not. I have it on tape. I'm going to try to catch some of the highlights. But did Ramos homer in that game, or was he in a different game?
No, last night, and I was already gone by then, but he crushed it, and Billy Hamilton hit one down the right field line, and Shaw was on ahead of him, and he almost caught Shaw. so he had to stop at second. But they have this kid, Sean Roby, Bruce. Watch him at third. He can swing the bat. Bart played last night as well. And, you know, I'll tell you, my first week of being down here, it's different. And these young people, they can play, and you'll see it on the tape when you watch it.
Yeah, that's what I tried to touch on in my column today, is that, you know, as bleak as it looks in the, you know, in the really big picture, the Dodgers and everything else, there's an awful lot of young players here that are interesting, and they're going to get a shot. And, fans will have a chance to evaluate them for themselves. Maybe some of them don't get out of spring training, but you hope the games are televised. But I think that's an interesting aspect of it, because they're looking for 2 years down the road, and who are the guys that are going to be here then?
I thought it was a good story, and the Giants, you know, a little bit of heart here in putting the two Bishop boys in the same game. One, of course, with Seattle and Hunter Bishop, and, you know, the tragedies that they've gone through with their mom. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty nice.
That really was, and, you know, I didn't even get around to mentioning Hunter Bishop. I'm not sure he's going to be in this year's plans, but you never know. But you read about this guy, what a phenomenal athlete he is. You just hearing time after time, this guy's one of the best athletes in the game. He played football, and, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate to subtle, precise baseball skills. But, you know, he's a baseball player at heart, so I think fans are going to really enjoy watching him whenever he gets a chance.
And Joey Bart just continues, Bruce, to look like a major leaguer every time you see him. He's on the tape as well from last night.
Yeah, we've been talking about him, as I think we agree that he's got to come up at some point. I hope when he does, he never goes back down. And, you know, this is the kind of season, following that same theme with young players, you want to get a look. Why not? You know, I don't think he's the kind of guy who's, if he comes up and goes 0-10 and sits for a while, I don't think it's going to ruin him. You know, they're always worried about rushing a guy and emotionally damaging him. I don't know him personally, but he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would be flustered by any kind of failure, because it's a game of failure in essence.
No, he is. He's ready. Believe me, he's ready. And people say, what about Posey? And I hate to say what I say. I wouldn't say it on the air. But I sit him down. You know, whatever you have to do. This kid is going to play, and he will be a core guy for the next 10 years. And if he's ready, get him up here. That's how I feel.
One thing about Posey, and unless Posey's hitting 320 and jacking the ball out of the yard and looking like the old Posey, you know, he's not going to stand in this kid's way. I really don't think he'd be so arrogant as to sort of pull a Joe Montana and Steve Young, you know, where he just can't stand it. You know, he can see the light.
No, I agree with you on that. Logan Webb and Beattie had good games. Yeah. So the starting pitching, Bruce, has been actually, I know it's down here, believe me, I know it's down here, but they had a nice run through the rotation here, and Smiley goes today.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen enough of BDN Webb that to know that, that there's a ton of potential there. I'm kind of a Webb guy because I like he has got a lot more deception to his delivery, and he's got some just radical breaking pitches. Really, I mean, when he's on, he's pretty phenomenal. BD's a more straight up guy with a without a lot of deceptive motion, but I heard he threw 98 the other day, so that's kind of speaks for itself. And we know he's got the stuff to be a big leaguer. So yeah, I mean, Jelly is getting a lot of notice. That's really interesting. You know, how's Tyler Rogers going to work out? The pen is could go any old way, but they sure have a lot of options. So I just think it's I think it's pretty exciting on a lot of levels. It's interesting for sure.
I think they're better than people think, and I realize it's down here. In 2 months, we'll never remember anything that happened here.
Yeah,
but I can see
true.
The way I can see the way he's going to run the game. He's going to run the game like the Dodgers do. He's going to have the left fielder playing shortstop, the second baseman going to third, the first baseman going to right, the center fielder catching, and he's going to do this during the game. And he wants 26 people who can move around. And he's going to get the pitching staff. He's going to get a guy in and get a guy out and matchups and all this. It's going to be a very aggressive game. And in some sense, it may actually level the playing field a little bit because he's going to look for every statistical advantage he can get. Now, you have to perform, but you will be watching a different type of game with Kapler and his script. I really believe that.
Yeah, you know, I really hope Billy Hamilton makes a team. I'm not sure he's going to be out in the outfield every day, but just say that he is, or at least in a platoon. I mean, he's a real game changer. I mean, there's no mystery. His speed is blinding, and he's proven that he can steal on anybody at any time, even if he's hitting 210. We just get him on base, and it's going to happen. He's a very good defensive player. But, yeah, I agree just in general. You know, there's so much talk about launch angle and home runs, and that's not going anywhere anytime soon. But if you get a team, maybe it's not the Giants, but just say it is, who's playing a different kind of game. It's very fundamentals-based. It makes a lot of sense. It reminds you of how the game really is supposed to be played. You know, that can catch on as well.
Well, you know, just we'll end with this one. But I want to read the three-dot lounge. I haven't read it yet for this morning. But he's got Yastrzemski in center. He can play all the positions. He's got Flores at second. He could play anywhere. He's got Dickerson in left. He could play first. He's got Slater at first. He can play six different places. He's got McCarthy in right. He could play all over the place. He's got Sanchez at short. He could play second. Solano's at third. He could play short and second. Brantley catches, and he could sell hot dogs. And Westbrook is the DH, and that's the lineup today. This is what we got coming.
Yeah, well, we're so on the same page. That's basically what I wrote. There's so much uncertainty. We're going to see so many different combinations, players showing up at different positions, and, you know, fans will be able to make up their mind. Okay, I'd rather see DeBon in center, or maybe he should just be at shortstop, you know, full-time, or what's going to happen at second base and all this stuff. It's interesting. It's going to be great.
It is. This is the second week of spring training baseball, so we'll see what happens. Tomorrow we got the Padres. We'll talk about what they're doing. So, great. Have a great afternoon. I'll read your column. And, of course, I'll be interested to get your take when you see Ramos's home run and Hamilton chasing Shaw around the bases. You're going to enjoy this one. You're going to
okay,
like
thanks
this.
A lot, Marty. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.